الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر، وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. يا رب اللهم ارحم ضعفاءنا، ويسر أمورنا، واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. ربي عجز الطبيب فداونا، وفسد الزمان فنجنا، وضعفت حيلتنا فقونا. إلهي حملت نوحا على ذات ألواح ودسر يا ذا العزة والجبروت، ورددت ليعقوب بصره بعدما ابيضت عيناه يا ذا الملك والملكوت، وجمعت بينه وبين ابنه يوسف قبل أن يموت، ونجيت موسى في التابوت، وحملت يونس في بطن الحوت، ونجيت الحبيب محمدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم بخيوط العنكبوت. سبحانك سبحانك أنت الحي الذي لا يموت. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم، ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن، ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب، بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان، ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, indeed I once again feel honored and privileged to address such a huge gathering of Muslims on such a momentous occasion. And let me once again use this opportunity to echo my sentiments of gratitude to the organizers who have taken the trouble of inviting me all the way from Africa. And I hope in our short discourse today, it can leave me nourished as well as you. However, I would like to confess to a reality as well, as the poet says it: وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍّ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتُّقَى طَبِيبٌ يُدَاوِي وَالطَّبِيبُ عَلِيلُ. The poet says, وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍّ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتُّقَى طَبِيبٌ يُدَاوِي وَالطَّبِيبُ عَلِيلُ. That a person who lacks piety is advocating piety. In essence, it is like a doctor who is treating a patient, yet he himself is sick. If you look through the brochure that is before you, and the topic that we have to discuss is something of absolute pertinence, and that is avoiding bankruptcy. From the material perspective, every man has a passion to avoid becoming a pauper and a bankrupt person. And keeping the theme at mind, and that is the Islamic civilization, let us reflect on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and understand the methodology he implemented, that in a short span of 23 years he molded the most barbaric nations and made them just not reformed individuals, but made them guiders for humanity. So when we look at his methodology of guiding his nation, then at times he would ask them questions, like the hadith that stands before you, where he asked the question, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. O my Sahaba, have you ever reflected on the definition of a pauper? Now, generally the Sahaba would answer, whenever they were asked with a question, they would answer by saying, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Prophet knows best. But they considered the answer to be so simple, so basic, that they all answered in one voice, Al-Muflisu Fina Man La Dirham Lahu Wa La Mata. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the definition of a pauper is a bankrupt person, like the one in the world, as the Arabic poet says it, yamshil faqiru wa kullu shay'in dhidduhu. That the poor person walks in this world and everything opposes him. تراه مبغضا وليس بمذنب. You look at him, you hate him, but he committed no crime. يرى العداوة ولا يرى أسبابها. يرى العداوة ولا يرى أسبابها. The innocent pauper sees hatred and malice, but he knows not why. حتى أن الكلاب إذا رأت ذا ثروة خضعت لديه وحركت أذنابها، وإذا رأت يوما فقيرا نبحت عليه وكشرت أنيابها. What does the poet say? That when the dog passes by a wealthy man, he passes by wagging his tail. And when the dog passes by a pauper, he passes by barking. So the Sahaba said, the pauper is one, al-muflisu fina man la dirham lahu wala mata'. O Prophet of Allah, a pauper is one who has no wealth or property. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. And in the same vein he asked them, يا أبا ذر أترى أن كثرة المال هو الغنى وقلة المال هو الفقر؟ O Abu Dharr, do you consider excess wealth as true wealth and lack of provisions as poverty and penury? He says, O Nabi of Allah, that is the apparent definition. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no. True wealth is the contentment of the heart. True wealth is the contentment of the heart. And hence on one occasion he taught Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu five words. He asked Sayyidina Ali, would you prefer 5,000 sheep or would you prefer 5 du'as? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, خَمْسَةُ آلَافِ شَاتْ لَمَالٌ كَثِيرٌ. 5,000 sheep, it's a handsome wealth. But teach me those five words, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To which he replied, make the following du'a, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذُنُوبِي. O Allah, pardon my sins. وَوَسِّعْ لِي خُلُقِي. And favor me with sublime character. وَطَيِّبْ لِي كَسْبِي. And provide me with halal and pure income. وَقَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي. And grant me contentment on what you've ordained for me. وَلَا تُذْهِبْ قَلْبِي إِلَى شَيْءٍ صَرَّفْتَهُ عَنِّي. And let never my heart incline to something you have averted from me. So he asked the Sahaba, what is the definition of a poor person? They say, al-muflisu fina man la dirham lahu wala mata'. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a poor person is one who has no wealth or who has no provisions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, as we say, just to set the records correctly. Just for this, to set the records correctly, he says, let me tell you. Inna al-muflisa min ummati man ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah. Now I beg for your undivided attention. This is a matter which is very, very crucial and critical. Inna al-muflisa min ummati man ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin. Verily a pauper from my followers is he or she who will present before Allah on the day of qiyamah with years of fasting, with years of charity. These are the plus factors. مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِالصَّلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ. He had observed many, many fasts. وَزَكَاتٍ. He had discharged his obligatory, mandatory zakat. Those are the plus factors which will make him wealthy. But then comes the contentious issue. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَسَّفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. Subhanallah, the eloquence of the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, while he will present with all this good and this credit, at the same time there will be people that will appear before Allah, and he had reviled someone, he had verbally abused someone, he had insulted someone. Our beloved my mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who enjoyed a very close relation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, she made a remark regarding one of her co-wives, one of the honorable consorts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "Hasbuka min Safiyyata katha wa katha ta'ni qasira." O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your other wife Safiyya, she's very short, which was derogatory about her image. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Aisha and he said, "Laqad kulti kalima." O Aisha, I love you and Allah loves you. But today you've uttered a statement that if that has to be put into the water, لَنَجَسَتِ الْبَحْرُ, it has the potential to contaminate the oceans of the world. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. Sometimes a person utters a statement when he promotes the esteem of a person. He honors the esteem of a person. And that is the teachings of Islam, and that is the civilization of Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ never demoralized any individual. Nay, he uplifted the spirit and the self-esteem. So there was an ordinary man by the name of Zahir, who used to live on the outskirts of Medina. He didn't have much social standing. He used to come to Medina and he used to sell some basic fruits. The Prophet ﷺ had a lot of time for him, and he made the comment and he said, إِنَّ زَاهِرًا بَادِيَتَنَا وَنَحْنُ حَاضِرُوهُ. Zahir is my contact in the village and I am his contact in Medina. So one day Zahir came and he started selling some of his fruit from the villages. The Prophet ﷺ came from the rear and covered his eyes, and then he said, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي هَذَا الْعَبْدِ. Listen, I'm selling this man. Anyone wants to buy him? So for a moment he wondered, who is this? And when he felt the soft palms of the Prophet ﷺ, he turned around and he said, Subhanallah, is it you, O Nabi of Allah? So there was a broad smile and he said, إِذَنْ تَجِدُنِي وَاللَّهِ كَاسِدًا. If you're going to sell me, I'm very cheap. You won't make much money out of me. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ. You might be cheap in the eyes of people, but in the eyes of Allah, you're the most valuable person. So the civilization of Islam is that we honor the morals and the values of every person. We don't leave any human demoralized at any time. The Prophet ﷺ says, sometimes a person utters a statement and he brings joy to the heart of a person and he doesn't realize how Allah loves that statement. فَيَكْتُبُ اللَّهُ بِهَا رِضْوَانَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَى. Allah then confirms his pleasure for that servant till the day he dies. And the reverse, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَةِ اللَّهِ. And sometimes you utter a statement which is offensive, which is derogatory. And then you justify it by saying, لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسَ. I don't think there was anything wrong. It was high time that he was told. Someone had to inform him. But that statement is so despicable to Allah, يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It will cause him to fall in the depth of hell, the distance which is greater than the east and the west. Hence the poet says, مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّا وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّا وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. In life, I never regretted when I observed silence. But there were numerous instances I regretted. Why did I speak? وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا. This person will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these people will come and say, oh Allah, this man has insulted me. Oh Allah, this man has accused me. Subhanallah, look at the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, one day Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ammar ibn Yasir, was just thinking of the life of Abu Bakr, and immediately he just started reviving the contribution of this individual. So he said, Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli ashiyatan hamma fi Bilalin bisawati wa lam yahdhara ma yahdharu al-mar'u dhul 'aqli bitawhidihi rabbal anami wa qawlihi shahidtu bi anna Allah rabbi ala mahli. فَإِنْ يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ خِيفَةِ الْقَتْلِ فَيَا رَبَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالْعَبْدَ يُونُسٍ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى نَجِّنِي. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a unique individual. Someone came and insulted him and snubbed him. Subhanallah. If we are on the receiving end, what is the civilization of Islam? Abu Bakr turns around and he says, if I am what you said, then may Allah forgive me. And if I am not what you said, then may Allah forgive you. If I am as you say, then may Allah forgive me. And if I am not what you said, then may Allah forgive you for accusing me. So that is also the teachings of Islam, that if we are on the receiving end, how do we conduct ourselves? Someone was sitting, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Someone comes and snubs him. Abu Bakr is silent, the Prophet of Allah is silent. The person snubs and insults and makes a derogatory remark for the second time, Abu Bakr is silent. On the third time when he speaks, Abu Bakr retorts and he responds. When he responds, the Prophet of Allah stands and he goes away. So Abu Bakr calls out and he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, I'm a human. The man provoked me once, I observed silence. He provoked me for the second time, I observed silence. Don't you think I'm justified to answer when he told me for the third time?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, when you were silent, Jibreel was answering on your behalf. When you spoke, Jibreel excused himself, so I also excused myself." You know, we can go into detail on everything, and this is now bankruptcy. Where despite appearing before Allah with all your credit, but your minus factors will surpass your good. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. Subhanallah. And this person will appear before Allah in a manner that he had devoured the wealth of someone. He had usurped the rights of someone. Now, we are living in a world where we have to face reality. Our salah that we observe is exclusive to the masajid, hence it cannot impress the non-Muslim world. Our zakat is channeled within the circle of the Muslims, hence it does not be of any aid to the non-Muslim. Our pilgrimage is exclusive to Makkah, where the non-Muslim cannot see. The greater portion of interaction of the Muslims with the non-Muslim world is through business, commerce and trade. What an ideal opportunity Allah has afforded us to present the Islamic civilization. Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu anha. How did she become impressed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When he was crowned with prophethood, every woman wanted him. After all, he was the noblest of Allah's creation. Aisha radiyallahu anha said, "Lana shamsu walil afaqi shamsu. Lana shamsu walil afaqi shamsu. Wa shamsi khayrun min shamsi sama. فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلَعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَشَمْسِ طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ." One is the sun that brightens the world, and one is my Nabi that brightens half, the other half is in darkness. My Nabi radiates light 24 hours. Now, what left this wealthy widow impressed from the life of the Prophet ﷺ? It was business. He was not yet a prophet. This was 15 years prior to prophethood. What introduced her to this human? It was his dealings, it was his honesty, it was his integrity. Now, as Muslims, the opportunity that stares at us daily, when we deal in with our fellow non-Muslim citizens, are we reflecting Islam? And hence I met with a revert, and he told me something which left me thinking. He says, "Sheikh, I am grateful to the Almighty that I met with Islam before I met with the Muslims. I am grateful that I met with Islam before I met the Muslims. Because I found gross discrepancy. The Islam I studied and the Islam I seen was different. And I'm glad my introduction was with the true Islam before I met the so-called practical Muslim." وَيَأْتِي قَدْ أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He had devoured the wealth of someone. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "مَمْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْغُلُولِ وَالدَّيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ." He who dies free of three crimes will go straight to paradise. He is free and innocent of pride, of deceiving and deceiting, and he is free from any forms of debts, then he will go straight to paradise. If we introspect in our lives, Allah forbid, we die perpetrating all three crimes. So we have pride in our lives, we have overwhelming debts. Sayyidina Luqman told his son, "Ya bunayya iyyaka waddain, fa innahu dhullun bin nahar wa hammun bil layl." Oh my son, don't get involved in debts. Don't owe anyone a cent or a dime. It's a disgrace by day and it's a worry by night. It's a disgrace by day and it's a worry by night. I want to share one hadith with you. I just hope my time permits me. There's a very beautiful hadith in Muslim Sharif. And it shows the Islamic civilization. And it brings up this point here, where a person will become bankrupt despite all his good because he owes people money. And regardless whether the money is owned to a believer or a disbeliever, you have to give the due to every person. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu says, لما كان يوم الجمل, I will quote the hadith of Muslim Sharif, دعاني أبي, on the eve of the battle of Jamal, my dad calls me. كنت واقفا على جنبه, I stood on the side of my dad. And he tells me, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهُ لَا يُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ وَإِنِّي لَا أُرَانِي إِلَّا سَأُقْتَلْ مَظْلُومًا. Look at this intellectual discussion. Look at the Islamic civilization. We think our youth are competent, are skilled, are articulate. Listen to this. A father calls his son on the eve of a battle, the most crucial discussion, the final moments of separation. And he says, listen, my son, your father is heading for the battle. And the way things look, there will be many lives that will be lost on both sides. And I have a strong feeling that I will be amongst those who will die innocently today. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. And listen, my son, before I bid you farewell and I separate permanently, I need to whisper one fear that haunts me. I need to leave one message with you. The thing that bothers your father the most is the debts that he has. He's going in the battle. He knows he'll be martyred, and hence he will be crowned with prophet. He'll be crowned with entry into paradise. But what are his words? What is the Islamic civilization? وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. Then he advises his son. He says, يَا بُنَيَّ بِعْمَا لَنَا وَقْضِ دَيْنِي. Oh my son, I'm going. Sell our assets, wind my estate, and I want you to discharge all the obligations. You know, in English they say, where there is a will, there is a way. But someone told me a different thing. He says, where there is a will, there are relatives. Where there is a will, there are relatives. It's my late cousin, it's my uncle, it's my friend, it's my brother. But let me tell you, what is the Islamic civilization? Whenever any body was brought, the Prophet ﷺ would ask one question, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ دَيْنٍ. Does the deceased owe any money? So the Sahaba would say, yes, he owes money. هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائٍ. Has he left behind money to settle the debts? They would say, yes. The Prophet ﷺ would go forward and perform the salah. But in the event if a dead body was brought, and there were outstanding debts, and there was no arrangements and adequate measures to settle the debts, then he would tell his Sahaba, Sallu ala sahibikum. Listen, someone else come and lead the prayer of the deceased. He has outstanding debts. I do not want to perform his prayers. Now, reflect here for a moment. There was a woman of Abyssinian origin who used to clean the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was a simple, ordinary woman. And then the Prophet ﷺ realized that this sister who used to come and clean my masjid is no more to be seen. So he asked from his noble companions that there was this sister which I no longer see. What is the matter? So they said, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, she passed away by night, one of the nights, and we did not feel it comfortable to disturb your sleep, given her position. So we arranged for her burial and we buried her. The Prophet ﷺ said, Dulluni ala qabriha. Dulluni ala qabriha. Take me to her grave. Do you know these graves are filled with darkness and loneliness and solitude? And Allah brightens the grave for the occupant when I perform salah. Take me to that grave and I want to perform that salah. Here he takes it upon himself to present at the grave of a sister who had passed away and was buried. And here the body is brought and he declines. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, again the Islamic civilization, which is our theme. Sayyidina Ali comes forward and he says, O Prophet of Allah, I don't know who this man is, but don't deny him your prayers. Whatever his debts are, I will settle it. Whatever his debts are, I will settle it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Fakkallahu rihanaka minan nar kama fakakta rihana akhika al-muslim. Ali, may Allah save your soul from hellfire as you've saved the neck of your brother. That is Islamic finance. That is how you come to the aid of your brother. And that's our civilization. Anyway, Abdullah tells his son, بِعْمَا لَنَا وَقْضِ دَيْنِي. Sell all the estates and settle our debts. What an emotional meeting. Can we today, if we're flying abroad, just call our son last minute and say, listen, I'm going for a holiday, or I'm going for a business trip. See to this, arrange to this, cater for this. Unfortunately, that isn't the responsibility that the youth of today have. But look at the integrity and the maturity and how visionary these youth were, that a father can call his son and say, that's the last meeting, I will be taking my last breath. These are the things you need to go ahead with. Then he says, if there's any wealth left behind after you've discharged the debts, then a third of that must go to your children, that is my grandchildren. Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, فَجَعَلَ يُوصِينِ بِدَيْنِهِ. He started emphasizing the importance of settling the debts. And then he tells me, listen, my son, I've got to move now in the battle. My last words to you is, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ. If you have any problems in settling my debts, then consult with my master. Consult with my master. Not with my bookkeeper. Not with my lawyer for legal advice. Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا دَرَيْتُ مَا أَرَادْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِ وَمَنْ مَوْلَاكَ. I did not fully comprehend the implications of my dad. So I said, Dad, you want to remind me again, who is your master? So he says, Allah. You consult with my Allah and he will settle my debts. But that's the critical issue. Let's not lose focus. We are talking of a pauper who will appear before Allah with all credit. But here comes the minus factors that he left owing money to someone. So he says, فَقُتِلَ الزُّبَيْرِ. My father passed away. وَلَمْ يَدَعْ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. He didn't leave behind one dinar or one dirham. I arranged, the hadith is in Muslim Sharif. I arranged for the burial of my father. And then I started calculating the amount that was outstanding. فَحَسَبْتُ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. I found that he had an outstanding debt of 2,200,000 dirhams. Now, in today's time, if a person has these overwhelming debts, and then let me still explain why he was indebted, then what we say, he becomes suicidal. Any trivial things and he becomes suicidal. That's the common thing today. You know, it's an escape. He says, my father had 2,200,000 and I was responsible. What he left behind? Four wives. He had four wives. وَلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ تِسْعَةُ بَنِينَ وَتِسْعُ بَنَاتٍ. Nine sons, nine daughters and four wives. And my father made me in charge to settle the money and he said, that's my last words to you. Subhanallah, what was the Islamic civilization? فَقُتِلَ الزُّبَيْرُ وَلَمْ يَدَعْ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا إِلَّا أَرْضَيْنَ. My father left behind two portions of land. One was in Ghaba, a place called Ghaba. إِحْدَى عَشَرَةَ دَارًا بِالْمَدِينَةِ. He had 11 houses in Medina. دارين بالبصرة, two houses in Basra. دارا بكوفة, one house in Kufa and one house in Misr. Then he says, let me tell you how my father was indebted and how he got this assets. وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ دَيْنُهُ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ كَانَ يَأْتِيهِ فَيَسْتَوْدِعُهُ بِالْمَالِ فَيَقُولُ لَا إِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْهِ الضَّيْعَةَ. A person would come to my late father. We're talking of Islamic finance, Islamic banking. I wish this can become a reality in the Muslim world. People would come to my father and say, listen, I have 100,000 dirhams. Can I keep it in your safe care and custody? So my father, out of his kind nature, would decline. And he would say, listen, if I take your wealth as a trust, then the ruling, the Islamic ruling, the jurisprudence is that if that wealth happens to be burnt or lost, without negligence on my part, then your wealth is lost. So the better way out is, I will take that money as a loan from you, so that your money is inevitably secured. So you come in to give me, to keep it as a trust and an amana, but I will withhold it as a qarz. When I've taken it as a loan, now it's upon my consciousness that I have to pay you. So my father never asked anyone for a cent, but people would come and give it to him. He would take that as a loan, help the poor, and in this way he became indebted. The essence that came to him was as what was allotted to him from the battle. Whatever was allotted to him in the spoils of the war that was given to him, that is how it came. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu says, I calculated 2,200,000 dirhams and I said, I've got to settle these debts. Just then Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu came. Subhanallah. Hakim ibn Hizam was a very, very generous man. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khair. It is your goodness and your generosity that brought you into the fold of Islam. He was a very, very generous man. So he came to Abdullah, he said, Yabna akhi kam ala akhi min ad-dain. Oh Zubair, tell me, your father has passed away. I guess there's some outstanding debts. That's Islamic civilization. That's the network we need to create. That's the fabric of our society. Your father has passed away. Is there any outstanding debts? So the son says, I thought to myself, my father has told me I must consult with Allah. And every time I had a problem, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا وَقَعْتُ فِي كُرْبَةٍ مِّن دَيْنِهِ إِلَّا قُلْتُ يَا مَوْلَى الزُّبَيْرِ اِقْضِ عَنْهُ دَيْنَهُ. Every time I had a problem, I said, oh, the Lord of Zubair, you make arrangements for Zubair. Subhanallah. And when a person wants to pay, then Allah, there is a hadith in Bukhari, where a person borrowed money, and the date came that he had to pay the due. So, he just could not, he needed to cross the river, and he could not get across, because there wasn't any boat that day. So he took the money, and he tied it up to a little stick, and then he covered it up, secured it, and he let that stick float on the water. You know, we're talking of internet banking, there was water banking happening way before us. We do an internet transfers and we think we are moving with time. And Allah brought that the hadith comes in Bukhari and that little stick came sailing to the door of that person. And that man came outside, picked up the stick, opened the note and found the money there. Why? Because this was the day I had committed that I'm going to pay that man, I have to pay him. So Hakim ibn Hizam asked Abdullah, tell me your father, was he owing any money? So Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, فَكَتَمْتُهُ. I concealed the reality and I said, yes, he was owing about 100,000. Whereas the reality was 2 million. So Hakim ibn Hizam says, Wallahi ma ara amwalakum tasa'u hadhihi. 100,000, I don't know where you're going to fork out 100,000 from. And Abdullah says, in my heart, I'm thinking, you thinking 100,000 is a lot, my friend, the reality is 2,200,000. So what was Hakim ibn Hizam? His words were, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِينُوا بِي. Listen, my brother, my deepest condolences on the death of your late father. I've only come here not to get inquisitive of your finances, but I've come to unconditionally extend my help to you. Whatever financial problems you have, you ask me and let's settle it so that it makes things easy for your dad in the grave. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, and that's the spirit of a believer, that when somebody else is in need, he said, I'm just going to run through the couplets, I don't have time to interpret this here. He said, مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالَهَا إِذَا أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ مَنَّا لَهَا. مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالَهَا إِذَا أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ مَنَّا لَهَا. مَنْ لَمْ يُوَاسِ النَّاسَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَرَّضَ لِلْإِدْبَارِ إِقْبَالَهَا. فَاحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرْ وَأَعْطِ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ مَنْ سَأَلَهَا. فَإِنَّ ذَا الْعَرْشِ جَزِيلُ الْعَطَى يُضَعِّفُ بِالْحَبَّةِ أَمْثَالَهَا. وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَةٍ وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَةٍ لَمْ يَقْبَلُوا بِالشُّكْرِ إِقْبَالَهَا. تَاهُوا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَقَيَّدُوا بِالْبُخْلِ أَقْفَالَهَا. لَوْ شَكَرُوا النِّعْمَةَ جَازَاهُمْ مَقَالَةَ الشُّكْرِ الَّتِي قَالَهَا. لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ لَكِنَّمَا كُفْرُهُمْ غَالَهَا. Subhanallah, you know, we'll need an hour for that alone. Anyway, Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى الزُّبَيْرِ شَيْءٌ فَلْيُوَافِنَا بِالْغَابَةِ. Whoever has any outstanding claims against my late father, come and meet me at Ghaba. That was the land of my father. Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu says, study this hadith. It explains the aspect of the pauper, the importance of settling debts, and it very clearly depicts the Islamic civilization. Abdullah ibn Ja'far comes to Abdullah ibn Zubair. He says, listen,
Your late father owed me 400,000 dirhams. Your late father owed me 400. Now every man wants to know. Every man wants to know and understands the need of money. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. The Quran says it's inherent in man. The love of wealth is inherent. مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَالْمَالُ حُلٌّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. So anyway, he comes and he says, your late father owed me 400,000. إِنْ شِئْتُمْ تَرَكْتُهَا لَكُمْ. But listen, I don't need the money. You can write off this year. I'm telling you, I'm canceling the debt. I don't want this money. So Abdullah ibn Zubair said, no, my father, before he died, he told me last words, my son, settle my debts. I don't want problems in my grave. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far says, okay, in shi'tum ja'altumuha fima tu'akhiruna, in akhartum. Make me the last to settle. Settle me the last. Settle everyone else. He says, no, I want to settle you now. Then he says, will you accept the land in lieu of the payment? He says, yes. He demarcates the land and he gives it to him. And then he starts distributing the other wealth. My time is up. I'll briefly run you through the hadith. After he had settled all the debts, his brothers and sisters came to him and they said, اِقْسِمْ بَيْنَنَا مِيرَاثَنَا. Listen, our father has passed away. We want our shares and our rights. So Abdullah ibn Zubair said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَقْسِمُ بَيْنَكُمْ حَتَّى أُنَادِي بِالْمَوْسَمْ أَرْبَعَ سَنِينَ. I will not give you a dime until I don't announce in 4 successive Hajj seasons that if anybody has a claim against my father, come and claim it and I will settle it. When I'm convinced beyond doubt that my late father doesn't owe a cent or a dime, then you will get your share. Now, let us reflect over our lives. Let us reflect over our lives and ask ourselves, لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس من. It is not correct to take the wealth of any human until he does not consent. And if you have taken it, you have to return it. So let me get back to the hadith because the time has lapsed. The Prophet ﷺ says he will appear before Allah. He will have years of fasting, years of charity. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He had insulted someone. He had usurped the rights of someone. سَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. He had caused bloodshed on this earth. He had killed one person wrongly. As Muslims, we are thought to live with dignity and respect. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam killed one person unintentionally, aiding an oppressed person. He was aiding a victim and he responded to the aid of a victim, and in retaliating, he trespassed the limits. As the Quran says, فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين. Oh Allah, forgive me. I have done something wrong. Oh Allah, I have gone beyond the limits. I have taken one soul unjustly. So to kill any human, you study the consequences that the Quran speaks about, taking the soul of one Muslim unjustly. وَمَن يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. The one who kills a Muslim intentionally, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. His penalty is hellfire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. He will dwell therein with eternity. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah is angry with him. وَلَعَنَهُ. And Allah curses him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah has prepared a severe punishment for him. Now I ask you, we are living in an age of freedom. Aborting that innocent child, is that not taking the soul of any human? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. Will not that child stand up and ask, what crime have I committed? That unborn, innocent, defenseless child. And today it has been ultrasonically proven as well that the child has feelings. But it's a topic of its own. This person will appear before Allah with years of fasting, years of zakat. But he had insulted someone. He had usurped the rights of someone. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. He had tarnished the honor of a woman. He had accused the woman. He had stigmatized the character of a woman. The riwayat of Tibrani, قَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ يَهْدِمُ عَمَلَ مِئَةَ سَنَةً. To taint the honor of a woman, to stigmatize the integrity of a woman, destroys the worship of 100 years. And subhanallah, I have spoken previously last year, and I want to just mention one point. During the time when the scandal was circulated against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, one day the wife of Abu Ayyub Ansari comes home. Now, you know, sometimes women, with utmost respect, just for the to initiate a discussion, we tend to gossip. Maybe not wittingly, unwittingly, but we realize not the implications. So look at the spirit of a believer, how he should be defend the honor of a sister. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu's wife comes home and she says, Abu Ayyub, have you heard what people are saying about Aisha radiallahu anha wa arda? Have you heard these rumors that have been circulated, these accusations? And the Quran responded, لَوْلَا سَمِعْتُمُوهُ لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. That a believer is he in whose presence when his sister is tarnished or stigmatized, then he stands up and he says, that's a blatant lie. How dare you open your mouth against my sister? That's the honor Allah has given to our sisters. Abu Ayyub Ansari tells his wife, he says, you are my wife. Will you ever do an act like this, a despicable act of immorality? She answers in the negative. She says, I will never perpetrate such a crime. So he tells her, you are my partner, you are my wife, the wife of Abu Ayyub Ansari, and you will never perpetrate a crime like this. Aisha, who is the wife of the master of both the world, will she ever commit a crime like this? I don't need to investigate this. From the very face, I can understand it. It's a white lie. The Prophet ﷺ says he will accuse someone. He will usurp the rights of someone. ضَرَبَ هَذَا, he will hit someone. Sayyidina Umar had an argument with the disbeliever regarding the superiority of Musa and the Prophet ﷺ. And in the process, Umar was provoked. فَلَطَمَهُ, Umar slapped that man. That man came running to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَّا أَنْتَ يَا Umar. Umar, you have slapped him, now he has to slap you or you have to please him. But justice must prevail. Justice must prevail. So I'm just briefly running to these complaints that will be lodged against him. People will say, oh Allah, he owes me money. Oh Allah, he accused me. Oh Allah, he insulted me. All these people will line up before Allah. سَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا أَكَلَ مَالَ فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. Allah Ta'ala will then say, you can enjoy his charity. You can enjoy his fasting. Imagine you come home with your check for which you work hard, you sweat, and you come with your bonus check. You come with your bonus check and then somebody just takes your wealth and he starts distributing it. Your hard-earned sweat money, you know what it takes. You know how possessive you are over your money. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ, the Quran says. You won't dare want anyone to touch it. You want to work out and spend your money. Allah will say, you have his salah, you have his zakat, you have his fasting. A time will come, and this is the area of bankruptcy and a pauper. The Prophet ﷺ says, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ. A time will come where all his good deeds will be exhausted. Everything will be exhausted, yet people will be demanding. Allah will then say, the only way I can satisfy your demands is that أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَتُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ. We will lighten your sins and your burden, and he will carry your sins. So first all, his good will be distributed. Can you imagine how expensive it is? When you're traveling abroad or anywhere, you prefer buying a bottle of water before getting to the airport, because at the airport you'll pay $5 more. Rather settle it in this world, my brother, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that if you owe anyone, call him here and settle it. Otherwise there, the currency will be your good actions. And it will be taken. A time will come, nothing will remain. Then the sins of others will be thrown on you. ثُمَّ تُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. And this person will be thrown headlong in the fire of hell. May Allah Ta'ala save us from that. And grant us the tawfiq and the understanding that we reflect, we ponder, and we make this the turning point. Whatever due is owed to anyone, let us use this opportunity to go and settle their due to that person. If we've offended anyone, if we've insulted anyone, يُجَاءُ بِبْنِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَأَنَّهُ بَذَجْ The riwayat of Bukhari. Man will appear before Allah like a lamb. How a lamb appears before Allah. He will be standing before Allah in that condition. So rest assured, we don't need things to jeopardize our entry into Jannah. We need things to make it easy for us. There was much more for me to speak, but my time has left. But I hope in this short time, I have left you with some food for thought, and that we become conscious about this bankruptcy, and we become conscious about the true definition of poverty, and shift focus from the material poverty and penury to that which is the ultimate poverty. May Allah save us and bless us with true wealth in this world, true wealth in Akhirah. Save us from physical poverty and from spiritual poverty. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.